Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? The great thing about podcasts is that you don't have to be a professional to do it. Anybody can publish anything. But there are a lot of questions to ask when you first get started. I know I had a bunch. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other big places people like to listen? And how do I make money off my podcast? Because it truly is a labor of love. To answer every one of these questions, it's really simple, actually. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. Even I can use it. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too, so you can get paid to podcast. I love Anchor because it's simple to use. I can record an episode or just a thought on my phone and upload it right then and there. They provide background music and also some sounds to really make your podcast pop. So if you've ever wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. To join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor, that's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Welcome to the Your Oxygen Mask First podcast. I'm Erin Young, and this is a space where we explore ways to help the helpers. Because you can't help anyone before you help yourself. So sit back, put your own oxygen mask on, and enjoy the ride. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm very excited to have Diane McDermott with us today. She has risen from the ashes after a divorce. And unfortunately, people in the helping profession, public safety in particular, this is something that's pretty prevalent. I looked up some statistics. And in general, public safety employees have a higher rate of divorce than the general population. And something that I found was really interesting is that female firefighters have a particularly high rate of divorce, which I didn't even know. So even though Diane doesn't really work in public safety, she does have firsthand knowledge of the toll that parting ways with your significant other takes on your body and your soul. And now she's putting her efforts towards empowering women to find the joy in being divorced. So thank you, Diane, for being with us. I am very happy that you joined us today.
Thank you, Erin, for having me. I am very excited to be here and to connect and chat with you.
Thanks. So briefly, tell us a little bit about yourself and then talk about your movement and your mission.
So about me, my initial career and background, I have a bachelor's in psychology. So the helping professions are certainly very near and dear to my heart. I transitioned from counseling work and social work 14 years ago now into my current career in real estate, where I absolutely still use counseling skills and guiding clients through what is a very stressful transition. What else about me? I love to read. I read all the time. So I will probably share some of my favorite quotes. I love quotes. I am a cat lady and a kitten foster mom. I have one who's currently running around the house playing. I signed up for my first half marathon. It looks like you've done a number of those, Erin, as well. So I'm excited and nervous at the same time for that this fall. And yeah, so that's in a nutshell about me. I'm very much an introvert, but I am what I call now a much more public introvert. So it's not that I've ever disliked people. I just need quiet time to kind of recharge. And I just have learned a lot about that aspect of myself, even in recent years. And as far as my mission, I would say it's really about, I'm passionate about shining a light on the topic of divorce, and specifically as it relates to women, because I feel like in our culture at large, there is still what I would call a stigma of silence around a number of topics, divorce definitely being one of them. And I just, since my ex left, I've never felt an ounce of shame. I don't consider divorce a failure. I don't feel that I failed at marriage. I feel that I succeeded in freeing myself from a relationship that was not serving me. So I'm passionate about speaking my story and my experience because I feel like it extends an invitation for others to share their story as well. So while the details that we experience are going to be different. There is a lot that is common to those of us who've been through some of the fire of divorce and come out the other side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congrats on the half marathon. It will be fun. It will be hard, but it will be totally worth it. And you'll be on cloud nine when you're done with it. So that I'm really happy that you're doing that.
It is a brand new experience. I've kind of stayed in many ways in my life experience. I've kind of habitually stayed small and don't look at me kind of thing. So just another step, definitely out of my comfort zone, stretching beyond anything I've ever done before. So.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. I have spent a lot of my life trying to be small and to not be seen, not get attention, because sometimes attention is not always good. And how do you handle that and process that to make it a positive? I didn't have the skills back then that I do have now. Let's talk about your story and your journey and where you've come and how you've risen up.
I'm in North Carolina, and the state is not making a short or a quick process when you make the decision to divorce. So it's from separation to when the divorce was final for me, it was 15 and a half months. And that ended, so I got the final piece of it nearly a year and a half ago. So the last 3 years of my life have been intense in every single way. And for me, about 5 years ago, I was pretty much dragged to a group here in Charlotte called Business Sorority, which is not your typical networking group. It really is about relationships. And it's got just a crystal clear culture of connection, but not connection based on the superficial, like job title or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's about really being ourselves and celebrating one another and uplifting and empowering each other as women, which is so, unfortunately, I think uncommon to find in our society. And those women and seeing them show up and be vulnerable and not pretend that everything was all awesome all the time, it was like a breath of fresh air for me. And I explain it as being a part of that group and building and growing those connections. For me, it was like me building the tribe that I didn't realize I was going to need when my life fell apart with my marriage ending. And those women are still in my life. I consider many of them chosen family, and they were my support network and resources as I navigated the separation and divorce process. So that was really, for me, the kickstarting was finding these women who were strong and successful and powerful, but they also weren't afraid to show the mess that goes on behind the scenes in our lives. Because I think we all experience mess. It's just a matter of what does that look like for each one of us at each point in time.
Those connections are so strong. I find that you can be sitting shoulder to shoulder with people who are going through the exact same thing that you are, but because we don't talk about these hard topics, that, you know, we don't connect. And you could gain so much from these people that are living through the same things or something similar. We've got to start talking about it.
Exactly.
So explain to me, what does it mean to be joyfully divorced? Because those two words usually don't go together.
They usually don't. That is a process, and that's just for me what feels the best of explaining it. Mm-hmm. I would say for me, being joyfully divorced means a really deep appreciation for the lessons and the wisdom. And those, I was journaling at one point, and I just started this silly little list, like hashtag gifts of divorce, and it was at first, just things like complaint-free cooking and no one adjusts my car seat, you know, the driver's seat in my car. But it really, like, as messy and honestly brutal as it was, there were gifts hidden in that mess. And so to me, being joyful about the fact that I'm divorced is I have learned so much about myself, about my values, about what I will and will not accept in any relationship, whether that's romantic, whether it's a business relationship, a friendship. I didn't know what my values were when I got married. And so it's been a really incredible opportunity for me to get a lot of clarity on what matters most to me. So that all of that wisdom just brings me a lot of joy, because I didn't have that self-awareness and the self-knowledge until very recently. Mm-hmm.
So divorce or separating from partnerships, I'm guessing even, you know, friendships or high value business relationships, it's not always necessarily a dark cloud. It just depends on your perspective.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, I certainly could have chosen, I'm very growth focused. I always want to be a student and a learner. I don't ever want to stagnate and be like, well, I'm good. I'm not going to learn or grow ever again. That's just my personality style, I think. So, you know, I could have chosen to just jump right into another relationship and not really do the deep, very uncomfortable internal work and reflection, because I had a part in the marriage. Like, it didn't just happen to me. It was an experience that I was a participant in. And so really taking a very deep look at what were my patterns? What was my behavior? What are my limiting beliefs? And doing that work has just brought a lot of clarity that I'm really grateful for. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a lot of people ignore that side of the process? And what does it take to identify that you can move forward and you can actually use this as a growth experience for yourself? It doesn't necessarily have to be the end of the world.
Well, I know I did not want to take that pathway, and I certainly resisted going through all of that self-reflection. I love Brené Brown's work, and I was reading Rising Strong, and I was like, I could see where I wanted to go. I could see the fulfillment. I could see the contentment and the peace. I could see it. But if I was standing on an opposite shore, and between me and where I wanted to go was this messy, murky, muddy, just unknown body of water. And Brené, pretty much through her writing, tapped me on the shoulder and was like, you can't skip the middle. You've got to go through it. And it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be clear, but it's the only pathway to get to the other side.
I love Brené Brown. That's awesome. I'm glad that you brought her up.
Yep. She's amazing.
So how long did it take for you to come to this realization? And did you do the standard, you know, I think it's the 7 stages of grief. Did that help you process things, or did you just totally go on your own path?
I very much went on my own path, and my journey through those stages wasn't linear. But I definitely think I experienced all of that. And it's been a lesson in trusting myself and my own inner wisdom and intuition that I've denied for decades. Mm-hmm. It's been an opportunity for me to connect at a much deeper level with myself and what feels right for me, and to unapologetically honor that, even when I really can't see the pathway. And that for me is very uncomfortable. I'm a recovering people pleaser and a recovering control freak, so I like to see the path. But letting go of, you know, some of that control has brought things and experiences and insights that they're beyond what I would have imagined. Mm-hmm. So that's been a beautiful part of it as well.
And what kind of self-care did you employ on your journey? Was there anything specific or maybe that people might not think that really helped you?
I'm definitely a writer. That is a natural expression for me. And even as a child, it was, and I denied it for a long time and have recently just stepped back into owning the fact that it is a natural expression for me. So journaling was huge. And I don't use them as much anymore, although it's still a tool for sure. What I would call adult timeout. So when I would notice my mind wanting to pull me down on the downward spiral of crazy talk, stopping. And no matter where I was, if I was in my home, going to the living room, I did it in the car before I would drive away, just to brain dump and get that crazy talk out of my head was really helpful. And I noticed the shift even in journaling in my language as I was writing, and it shifted from fury and anger to much more peaceful and accepting language. So it was interesting to really reflect and see that progression. And then I just energetically, I feel a release. And so I burned some of those journals and they're gone. So I don't feel the need to hang on to them. and one-on-one time with my most trusted people was very helpful. And I was so lucky, and I'm so appreciative to have had people who didn't try to tell me what I should do, who they would just listen and let me vent without judgment. Because I didn't need advice. I just needed to express whatever was coming up. So those were all extraordinarily helpful and healing throughout the journey.
Sometimes we have to preface some of our conversations with, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. Because I think so many people that we, even if we love them to death and they love us, they listen to reply and they're already thinking about their contribution to the conversation. So finding those people that can actually listen just to listen, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So what does your best self look like now compared to your old self? What is the new Diane?
I just that last year, 2017, was my year of repeatedly terrifying myself. I actually, as introverted as I am, I spoke publicly more than once to groups of women and shared a lot of my very personal experience and that journey. And like standing up in the front of a group of people was terrifying, but I felt so called to do it. So, and even having conversations like this, 5 years ago, I would have been hiding in the closet. Like, no way am I going to show up. I haven't showered today. And I'm like, no makeup. And now I'm like, I don't care. I mean, I'm not judging myself. It's a huge step for me. So even just, I explain it as the last few years of my journey have been not just about finding my voice and owning the fact that I have a voice and I have a perspective to share, but it, more recently, it's been about raising my voice and not continuing to limit myself. And honestly, not giving a crap. I'm really trying to keep my language clean. but not giving any weight to whatever anyone else thinks about it, because anyone else's opinion is just that. It's theirs. It's not a reflection of me.
Absolutely. I love it. I'm so happy that you were able to step outside your old self and do things like the public speaking and coming on my podcast and the half marathon. And, you know, it's so nice that you are free of judgment from yourself. There's no criticism. So you could do anything you want, really, because
the possibilities are endless.
There's nothing limiting you. And I think it's important for people who may be struggling or going through this transition with a spouse or a partner to know that that person is not you. That person was a part of your life, but they were not a part of you.
Exactly.
Children in relationships are pretty common. I hear people have kids. I don't know.
I hear that too.
I have two of them, but you don't have any children yourself, but you have experience with people who have had children and gone through divorce or nasty relationships. Is there any type of advice or anything you could speak to?
So I'm truly grateful every day. My ex-husband and I did not have children together because it allowed me to have a really clean break from him. I have a number of friends who are divorced, whether they're single or happily remarried now, and they did have children with an ex-partner. And it adds a really thick layer of additional complexity to what is already a really overwhelming process. And I can't put myself in their shoes of imagining what it's like to really and truly put your children's best interests and needs over even your own preferences. And so I have a number of friends who are family law attorneys and a number of friends who are therapists who actually specialize in working with whether it's individuals divorcing or families as a unit divorcing and transitioning from married to just mom and dad. So those professionals, I think, wherever they are in your area, they are such valuable resources because they see you only have your perspective. So professionals who work with people going through that experience multiple times, they just can add another level of insight and guidance, I think, through that process. So I know from friends that have used those resources, they found them to be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And personal question, I'm a huge advocate of therapy and therapists. I think that you should go to the therapist as much as you get your hair cut and styled, you know, yep. But Did you employ that resource and did it help you?
I didn't do it formally. I did it more informally. And I also, I mean, I came from mental health counseling background. So, I mean, I believe in the value of therapy and therapists. And there's a lot of different, I will say there's a lot of different styles of therapy. And I think it's important to not, to maybe explore what feels right for you. Like there's different levels of trauma and there's different methodology too. So I didn't utilize anything formally because I really felt like that just didn't feel, I didn't feel called to do that personally. But I definitely, it was more informal for me. It was whether I was reading other people's stories and experiences or just talking through other people's experience for it. So I did it more, I don't want to use the word casually, but I didn't go and have appointments with therapists.
A therapy can take on all sorts of different forms too. It's not just you sitting across from a person in an office.
And I'm a big fan of YouTube and videos and Amy Turner has amazing videos that I've watched and it's been very helpful as well. So yeah, I'm definitely an information gatherer from like multiple different sources. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amy's amazing. Amy. So what things are you still learning about? Because I feel like this is more of an evolution than a start and stop process.
I agree. And I asked a friend probably a year and a half ago, I said, so when do the levels of transformation stop? Because I was looking like, where's the destination? When will I arrive? And she looked at me and said, I don't think that they ever do stop. She said, but I think as you go, you just start getting less and less busy as you navigate them. And I really like that way of looking at it because I don't think it ever does stop. I still catch myself. I'm not like, and I've arrived and I never have an issue on a day-to-day basis. Like I still catch myself saying yes when I want to say no. But I'm quicker about realizing I'm doing it and I'm better about expressing what I want and my preferences. So I think it's all an ongoing process. I still catch myself comparing myself to other people. I think as women, we just do that. And we're looking at their highlight reel and not seeing the mess that's going on behind their curtain. And we're, you know, beating ourselves up over here. And it's completely unfounded. Life's a work in progress. I think we're all works in progress.
Yeah, I love it because Diane and I are both Sunday morning. Well, it's probably Sunday afternoon for her because I'm West Coast, she's East Coast. But we got messy buns, t-shirts, yep, tank tops, and we're just hanging out. So, and that is unheard of because she's totally right. We see everybody's highlight reel. We see the filtered information that they want us to see, but nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. So you really, really can't judge other people. And I think it's important too that you touched upon, we as women should not be cutting each other down because you don't know what someone else's struggle is. The best thing that we could do for each other is to help straighten each other's tiaras and tell them to go back to work.
Yes. And don't even mention it. Yep.
Yeah.
That level of connection with other women is so powerful. And I know in my, you know, teen and even college years, I ran away from the whole sorority scene. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, mean girls? No, thank you. Mm-hmm. And so it's outstanding to realize that that's not the only type of female friendship and connection that really can exist. And that there is such power when we come together and we accept one another as we are. And we are focused on being that safe, the soft place to fall for one another. And just allowing one another to be and cheering each other on. We're all running our own race. So why not cheer each other on from the sidelines instead of trying to trip each other up at the finish line?
It sucks so bad. It's a disservice because why does it take us so long in our lives to figure that out? Like you said, you know, no mean girls, no sorority girls. I don't want to hang out with those people because they're so superficial and that's what they value. But now as we're older, you know, now we're searching and we're needing that kind of support and that connection from other people. It's just, it's really weird to me.
And I agree. And, you know, I think we each find it when we're ready for it. Like for me, I was in my mid-30s before I was really ready to find it. I have friends who are 10 years younger than me. And so they found it when they were ready for it. And then I have friends who were 10 years, 15 years older than me. So I think it unfolds when we're receptive to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Do you have a good or better relationship with your ex now that you have expectations, you have standards, you have boundaries, and they are unwaverable?
I have an outstanding relationship with my ex. And for me, that means that we literally have no contact. And again, we didn't have children together. So I know I'm lucky and I'm grateful that I was able to get a clean break from him. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get, I was a ball of fury at first, and it took a long time for me to really forgive him. It was harder for me to forgive myself than it was for me to forgive him, actually. But I really wish him well on his journey, and we're just each now on our own path. And I hope he finds what he was looking for. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful that I don't have any connection to or awareness of that.
Right. And that's perfectly okay. You don't have to have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
It's better for you.
Absolutely.
So what is the most important takeaway you can give our listeners?
Putting yourself first is not weak. It is massively strong and courageous. And there is a real negative connotation around the word selfish. And I would love to see that word shifted to self-help, because until we put ourselves first, we are of no true value to anyone else in our life.
That's why you put your own oxygen mask on first.
That is exactly why. I love that that's the name of this podcast. It's been a theme for the last few years of my life.
And explain a little bit more how you're helping empower more women like yourself and how you're connecting with them.
Definitely, I've been doing it on a, like, not even one-on-one, but just in my day-to-day personal interactions throughout my daily life. I've recently realized I've been kind of still holding back, even in my professional blog and writing. Like, I've shared some stuff about the divorce, but I still had a hang-up, like, oh, it's not professional for me to share, you know, more of that mess and what that looks like for me. So I've really started being more intentional about sharing all aspects of me as an individual, because I'm not just my professional life. I'm not just my personal life. I'm not just the books I read or the clothes I wear. So I've really been a lot more intentional about really showing up as my fullest self in all areas of my life. So speaking is definitely an outlet I want to continue exploring, whatever that may look like. So I've been very open from the day of separation in sharing, you know, what I'm going through. And I don't feel like I'm going to stop doing that, because I'm still learning new insights and still growing. And still, as I experience more, you know, I learn more about myself. So just, again, using and raising my voice in multiple outlets, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Because it was so powerful for me to have women look at me face to face. And when I shared, you know, I just separated, and have people say, oh, I've been there. Like, people I wouldn't ever have guessed that about, because they never shared it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought they had it all together, and then they're sharing their experience years ago. And for me, that was a light. That was something to hold on to in the darkness that I was in the middle of. Like, wait a minute. I'm not alone. I'm not a freak. There's nothing wrong with me. And other people that I respect and admire have been through something in their past, and they've come out the other side better for it. So that's, again, back to what my mission or passion is about, speaking truth to my experience. And Brené says, when we deny our story, it defines us. But when we own our story, we get to write the ending. So I'm very grateful to have the pen back in my hand, and to have the ability to decide what I want to do on any given day.
And I see that you wrote a book, and I think it's awesome because you targeted a certain niche of people.
I did. Single women, whether they've never been married or they're divorced, are the second largest group of homebuyers nationally. And yet when you look at marketing and you look at images, they're not represented. It's all marketed to couples, partners, families, that is a group that I really identify with. And it's a different perspective when you're looking to buy a home and you're a single woman. It's just a different outlook. So I'm passionate about really speaking to those women. So the book I wrote, the ebook, is called The Badass Chick's Guide to Home Buying. And it's really very intentionally holistic and about honoring your intuition. If it doesn't feel right, say no. Like, you don't have to make a decision that doesn't feel aligned to you. And it's not just about what your finances look like and how much health payment you would qualify for. There's a whole lot more to consider that is really more specifically related to women in the home buying process. So, yes, I'm very proud of that ebook. It just came out a couple months ago. It's so long ago.
That's fascinating. Ed, it's really true. I've never really noticed it before until you pointed it out. If people wanted to connect with you and look at your blog, check out the new ebook, and maybe have a dialogue with you, how can they find you?
I am most easily accessible, or most, I should say, most responsive quickly through email. I am always happy to connect with anyone who's interested in having any conversation that's of interest. So my cell phone that I'm happy to share, again, I'm better, I'm more responsive at text or email, but my cell phone is 704-516. 3691. I am on Facebook. I don't really post and share much on Facebook. I have a really big boundary with Facebook these days. But I am on there if anyone were interested in connecting.
Awesome. Thank you. I will post all of the ways to get a hold of you also in the episode page in our resources. Is there anything else you'd like to say or any closing thoughts before we end?
I really just want to thank you for this opportunity to have this conversation. I've listened to several of your podcast episodes, and they definitely, they're intriguing and they're informative. So I love what you're doing, and I'm cheering you on, Erin. And I know we've never met in person, but it's wonderful to meet you virtually and see your face today. So thank you for the opportunity. And if I could honestly, and this is, I swear this is the truth, if I could tell myself and my younger self and any piece of advice, it literally would be to put on your own damn mask first.
I love you, Diane. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This has been fun, Erin.
Thanks. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all the downloads. Please subscribe if you want to hear more. And, you know, shout out to Diane. Go talk to her. Have a conversation.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And I hope that you found something that really resonates with you. I can't wait to share even more. So please subscribe to the podcast. And you can find links to our resources in the description and at youroxygenmaskfirst.com.